1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a serious issue, unveiling the deep state. Do you believe we have a deep state? What do you think the deep state connotes, that term? What does it mean? Or should we be concerned as Christians, conservatives, and patriots? Should we be concerned that we have a dual system of governance in our nation? I'm looking at a headline, Tulsi Gabbard releases classified files exposing, listen to this, manufactured intelligence, years-long coup on President Trump. And it goes on with a major list and a basic timeline of what has taken place. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another headline. I'll read it with one paragraph from the article, and then we'll take our callers. There must be indictments. This is Tulsi Gabbard. There must be indictments, no matter how powerful they were at the time. Gabbard said, Sunday morning features, as she was being interviewed by Maria Bartiromo on the Fox News Channel, she said they were manufactured intelligence by Obama officials suggesting there was a Russian collusion to impact the race. They all must be held accountable. We're referring to all of the documents, we've uncovered to the Department of Justice for the and the FBI for referral. Here's the point. This is an issue that is so serious, it should concern every single American, because it has to do with the integrity of our constitutional republic, end quote. We had a sitting president of the United States, his cabinet, and all of his leadership team who were very happy with the facts that President Trump had won the election. They decided that they would do everything possible to undermine his ability to do what the voters asked President Trump to do upon his election. That is the issue at hand. And we're witnessing today the layer by layer of the onion being unpeeled to reveal that we, in fact, have been living in a nation with a dual system of government, with the unveiling of the deep state that is just now happening. I believe it's been happening for about 50 years or better. I believe it perhaps was longer than that. I believe it was the deep state that destroyed Richard Nixon. I believe it was the deep state that had John Fitzgerald Kennedy assassinated. I believe it was the deep state that had Robert Kennedy assassinated, and I could go on and on and on. We're witnessing the unpeeling of the onion with the revelation of these things taking place. I believe we have Congressman Hill on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, you're absolutely right. I agree with you 100% that what we are looking at is finally, with the Trump administration, that they are revealing the actions of this deep state, which you say has been going on now for a good 50, close to 60 years. And we have friends of mine in a John Birch Society who called this out as early as 1958. And it's all based on subversives who want to take away our constitutional rights and instead exchange it for communism. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it in full force now where they're coming out. They have people running for office calling themselves democratic socialists. There's no such thing.
That's right.
It's a communist. That's what you are. They're just trying to dress it up a little bit, put a little lipstick on that pig. But what we're seeing, Dr. Youngblood, is finally we have people in place, the Trump administration, who are putting an end to all the illegal activity that has been going on, which became full force. I mean, it was obvious to even those who are not a part of the deep state, who are not a part of all this classified information, that there were many irregularities going on with the Obama administration and definitely with the Biden administration. And you're right. I believe that there was cheating going on to get Obama elected the first time and the second time. And of course there was with Biden getting elected. But now we're seeing that here is Tulsi Gabbard, and God bless her for her courage to step forward like this and to say the truth and to say that there should be indictments, there should be prosecutions, and people should go to jail for what they have done, no matter how powerful or at what level of government they are. And I think she's referring to Obama when she says that. And I hope that that is what the current administration, Department of Justice, will actually do. Indeed, be a Department of Justice instead of someone who is covering up for the criminal activity that has been going on.
Congressman Hill, I'm looking at an article. In part, it says documents show that the intelligence community, including the CIA, FBI, NSA, DHS, were all directed to prepare new reports detailing tools Moscow used to allegedly influence the election. For those of our listeners that may not be familiar with the term Russiagate and that information, give us a brief synopsis of that, because what I find so astronomically almost unbelievable is that every one of the thugs with badges agencies were involved in it. You could call it collusion or whatever you want to call it. It's an intelligence failure from the standpoint of protecting America. It is a conspiracy, and I believe it's treason, though some have said, oh, we can't call it treason. What are your thoughts about that? Is it possible that we have fragments of that still left in each of those departments, and how should President Trump handle it?
Yes, there are fragments that are still left there, Dr. Youngblood, and they're rooting them out slowly but surely. We're seeing how there is being called a reduction in force or some high-level official who's being relieved of duty. These are people who were still involved with the whole Obama-Clinton administrations and were when I say Clinton, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton, who was a part of the Obama administration, who, by the way, was Hillary Clinton and Obama who originally began this whole Russiagate thing where they put together a false document. It was they hired Michael Steele to put together this document that they knew was false, that they knew was inaccurate, put it together to go to the FISA court so that they could then spy on the Trump campaign and on his administration. It was wrong. I believe the FISA court knew it was wrong, and they went along with it anyway. So, yes, we need to call those people out, root them out, because they are still there, and as you say, charge them with the crime that is appropriate. If it's treason, then treason it is. And that is what they should be charged with.
Absolutely. And James Clapper, at the time he was interviewed on television several times. Now he's become a CNN rock star. But at the time he was being interviewed for his position, asked the question by one of the senators, have you been spying on American citizens? And after rubbing his forehead for a while and looking down and looked back up at the camera, he said, not wittingly. Not wittingly. That was the telltale answer there. And it was, and by the way, this goes even deeper than that particular group. It goes back to when George Bush had instigated at the knee-jerk response to 9/11, the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act allowed the FISA court to be set up, to be utilized. And as you said, I believe the FISA court was deceived and or were actively conspirators along with the things that were taking place at the time. About the Russiagate collusion, supposedly, that where President Trump, then a candidate, was a puppet of Putin, et cetera, et cetera. Only to find out now, through these revealed documents, that there was no such thing as Russiagate, no such thing as a collusion with Trump and Putin, that it was all made from whole cloth, as you said, from the Steele dossier that was known to be factually incorrect, wrong, fraudulent, all fabricated, paid for by Hillary Clinton and the DNC, and being carried out under the leadership of Barack Hussein Obama. Now, here's a question. Congressman Hill, and I'm thankful that you can take a moment out of a busy schedule to join this discussion. But some have said, well, it'd be futile to try to do anything because, after all, Obama will still have presidential immunity. Does presidential immunity apply? Is that true? In your opinion, how does that would that stand?
No, Dr. Youngblood. A presidential immunity is if you are carrying out your official duties as president. When you were putting this dossier together, the Steele dossier together, that was not acting in your official capacity. You have no immunity there. A president can't go into a jewelry store, steal jewelry out of there, and say he was acting within, he has immunity because he was president at the time. No, you were not acting according in accordance with your official duties. You committed a crime. And so just because you're president doesn't mean that you're immune from that. And I know they're going to say, well, that's what Trump claimed, that he had presidential immunity. But that was because he was performing his official duties. He was not in the process of committing a crime, which we saw happening during the Obama administration. Now, here's something that people aren't talking about, Dr. Youngblood, but it's also all a part of this. And that was with the 2016 election. We have those investigations, those false investigations, which were going on by Fannie Willis and also by Jack Smith, mm-hmm. which was all an extension of this, trying to claim that Trump acted in an illegal manner, but it's all part of trying to pull down, take down a duly elected president to prevent him from being elected first, and then trying to take him down once he was elected and preventing his reelection. It's all a part of it. And I think that Jack Smith, who I understand that Attorney General Pam Bondi is taking a close look at now, he and his top officials, but don't forget Fannie Willis also. She was a part of it, and those lives that she destroyed, where there were a number of people who were not even part of the Trump campaign, but just raised the question about the election, that they were forced to admit guilt just so that they wouldn't, the prosecution wouldn't continue and they would face possible jail time. All of that needs to be looked at also.
Absolutely. And let me ask you a very serious but a lengthy question as what I would call our exit question for you today. All of those, Roger Stone, Rudy Giuliani, all of those, Paul Manafort, each one of them that was in Trump orbit that have had been forced into confessing of something and or a plea bargain to keep them going to jail for 25 or 30 years. Many of them spent time in prison. Some of them are still in prison. It is my opinion they need to have, based on what we know now, based on what we see bubbling to the top now, based on the onion being peeled now, uncovering, unveiling the deep state, it is my opinion they should have right of redress, that they are compensated for their time, for their cost. Michael Flynn, for example, General Flynn, was bankrupted, destroyed his family, destroyed his home, lost everything that he had. Should there be recourse? Would that be the right thing to do? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. I know when I was in the state house, each year we would have brought before us a case where somebody was wrongfully accused of a crime. It could be proven that they were wrongfully accused, and we as a state would pay them millions of dollars in compensation for the time they spent behind bars. Sometimes 10, 20 years they were incarcerated, and we correctly paid them millions of dollars. This should also happen again to those who were on a different level, not the state level, but they were again wrongly accused, wrongly incarcerated, and yes, they should be able to receive some reparations for that, including Steve Bannon and what's his name? He's currently with President Trump now, where they went to jail for like 4 months. Mm-hmm. Because they refused to come before a bogus January 6th committee. So, yes, they should be compensated also for the time they spent illegally placed in prison.
Absolutely. And I must another question comes. I must ask you and then let you go. Is it possible that we're facing all of these things, the dual justice system, the deep state system, is it possible that this is upon us as a result of Christians not being involved in the political arena? Is that possible?
I think so, yes, Dr. Youngblood. Because if you had more Christians involved instead of sitting on the sidelines, we would have more Christians in office. That's not to say that Christians are perfect, but they have more of a moral compass that they adhere to because they have the Lord in their lives.
Yes.
And they use the Bible as a guideline, as a rudder, as a rock that they stand on. And so a lot of this could be prevented. But because Christians want to sit on the sidelines and think that they should not be involved in politics, which is incorrect, by the way, and here's some proof of that, Dr. Youngblood. There's the parable of the talents. And when the master came back to get a reckoning for the talents that he had given to his servants, what was his response? His response was, "Well done." And he doubled what they had and said, "Now I will make you in charge of 10 cities. Mm-hmm. And to one, I will make you in charge of 5 cities." That sounds like politics to me.
That's right. Absolutely.
So Christians need to get involved. And you're absolutely right, Dr. Youngblood, that if we had more involved in politics, we wouldn't see as much corruption as we do now.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, thank you so much today for taking a moment with us. God bless you and have a wonderful day. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, how you doing this afternoon, Dr. Youngblood?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I'm going to go through a history here of 2016. Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and Eric Holder was the DOJ. She released that post to Secretary of State to run. Whenever she lost on election night, she was quoted as saying, "We're all going to hang now." But if you look at the individuals that came into office with Donald Trump in the following year, you can see how the deep state work their little dog and pony show. James Comer had previously in 2015 exonerated Hillary Clinton of the Bleach Bit server incident there. And then when they came into office, individuals like Vindman, Colonel Vindman, said there was an inappropriate call with Zelensky because he was trying, Donald Trump was wanting to find out. And this is where General Flynn got in trouble. They were wanting to find out what exactly was going on as far as Hunter Biden and the Zelensky and the Burisma board. So that, in turn, led to impeachment charges being brought against Donald Trump, and we had a series of poor DOJ officials there. Jeff Sessions recused himself, and then Bill Barr came over. And then, of course, after Trump was out of office in 2020, you had Fannie, and then you had Smith bringing up charges for mortgage and loan applications with Deutsche Bank. And then it continued on. We had a series of individuals, and if you look at their names, Merrick Garland, Clapper, Brennan, all of these individuals were involved in one way or another and hamstrung President Donald Trump's first administration. So these could have been uncovered long ago, but he didn't have the right people around him. And I've said this before to you, but I don't have a lot of faith in Pam Bondi. She was for red flag, and she also went after Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman quite hard. I wait to be seen. I hope she proves me wrong.
Well, I think I would second your motion on that. Have a lot of respect for her in one way because of knowing her so well over the years. But at the same time, my mother used to call it proof is in the pudding. So let's see what takes place as a result of that. One of the things, Jim, that I'm curious about your thoughts on, well, we see what is taking place, what Pam Bondi is to do, what Tulsi Gabbard has done. And it's all, as you said, because of Trump's first administration. He admitted that he took the advice of other Republicans as to who needs to be kept in office, who needs to be put in office, who needs to be put over this department, that department. He said he trusted too many people in his first administration. And this time he went in with the idea, we're going to replace everybody, we're going to put heads in those departments that I have chosen, i.e. President Trump himself. I believe he made the right choice and the right decision. But it's my opinion that we still have too many embedded deep state operatives that's tying his hands with just about everything he's attempting to do. What say you?
Oh, I would 100% agree. The unelected bureaucracy is working behind the scenes to inhibit everything and every policy. And then you got a judiciary that's trying to legislate from the bench there that are activists. I can name about five judges right now that really had made personal decisions and restraints against this administration based solely on emotion and not having anything to do with law. Boasberg, there's like three others I know for a fact. I can look their names up, but yeah, it's bad.
It is bad when you have the, I call them the circuit judges, the appeals judges, et cetera. But when you get to one of the chief judges in the U.S. Supreme Court that doesn't even know what a woman is, that shows us how ludicrous we are and how much the nation's in danger with judicial decisions. And I'll go back to a old mantra of mine. And then let you go. A mantra that I've had is, number one, Supreme Court does not make law. Supreme Court's not the executive branch. Supreme Court can only render opinions. Yet we have become, we've come to believe as American citizens, when Supreme Court says it, that settles it. We need to bow and say, yes, Supreme Court, and accept what they say. That is a fallacy. That is not what our Constitution says. That is not the position that we need to take as citizens. What say you?
The court is the weakest of the three branches of government.
Yes, yes.
On one side, you've got the executive, and they rule, they make decrees and so forth. Then you got the legislative. The Supreme Court is only there to rule for or against constitutionality
yes.
of a legislation or law that was brought forward, or the constitutionality of an executive order that the executive branch has done. They are not there as the third part to be a wielder of power there. They are just there to interpret the law as it is written, and that's based on English common law. So they are definitely the weakest branch, and where they come up with this legislation by adjudication is completely wrong.
Unconstitutional, totally. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your insight and joining us today. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, concerning the latest findings by Tulsi Gabbard, I think that is enough proof. The word is proof that Obama and company, the deep state, committed treason. So stop the charging people or doing indictments. Arrest them, physically put them in jail. Arrest them and put them in jail. Also, invoke the RICO Act, which says that you cannot benefit from illegal activities, and take away their millions of dollars. All of them are rich, and they obtain that money by being traitors. And the issue of the border, if allowing 15 million illegals to cross our border, isn't that treason already? That is more than enough proof. We don't need Tulsi Gabbard for that. So, to me, it is up to Pam Bondi to issue the order arrest. And that's
absolutely. Absolutely. I think you're precisely correct. And by the way, just getting back to a more fundamental issue in my mind of the 2016 election, or even going back to that, what was it, 2008, when Barack Hussein Obama was elected, I still believe he has no U.S. birth certificate. I still believe he is an illegal Manchurian candidate. I still believe that he is without proper credentials to ever have served as president. I believe he was bought, paid for, put in there for the purpose of starting to do exactly what we're doing, we're seeing taking place today, the destruction of the very foundation of America. You recall it was Obama that said that he's going to fundamentally change America, and he has done so in his first two terms, 8 years total, and he's done so under the autopen Biden administration, where Barack Obama was behind the scenes still pulling the strings for the puppet Joe Biden. What say you?
Well, I agree with everything that you just said, but I would like to close with something to criticize Trump. He's thinking about maybe sending more airplanes or jets or Patriot missiles, whatever, to Ukraine. Well, he says that he wants to stop the killing. So if you send aid to Ukraine, the killing will continue. So don't send one penny, one bullet to Ukraine. Let Russia take over, and whatever happens, happens. NATO is anti-American, is not our friend, neither is the EU. It is their problem, not our problem.
Absolutely.
And if Russia takes over Ukraine, nothing will happen to us.
Yes, Derby, because of the restraint of time, let me just do a little footnote to that, and thank you for calling. But the footnote is simply this. I believe President Trump is using that as a tool in his toolbox to force Putin to come to the table to negotiate a peace treaty or a peace agreement. That's my opinion, and I pray that I'm correct on that. But, Derby, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. You are invited to participate in a broadcast ministry of First Conservative.